When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light. Catch all 7 rounds, 3 days, live from Detroit. April 25th to 27th with NFL Network Draft coverage presented by Verizon. And on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and streaming on NFL Plus. It all starts Thursday, April 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information. Presented by Verizon, the official 5G network of the NFL.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We're joined, as always, with our super producer, Alexis, codenamed Doc Holliday Jackson. Most importantly, you are you. You are here. And that makes this the stuff they don't want you to know, hurtling headlong toward the end of 2022 to the beginning of 2023. And shout out to all the longtime listeners who have been there with us since the pre-YouTube days. As Matt likes to point out, we got our start on Apple Video Podcast, which is increasingly becoming like our album came out on 8-track.
Yeah, that like iTunes.
Those big car phones, remember those? Yeah, it's like that.
And with this, we have once again put in some time on our continuing mission to hear about the best part of the show, you and your fellow conspiracy realists. Today, we're going to talk about the ancient question regarding the effects of the moon, its gravitation, its folkloric effects on the human body and society. We're also going to encounter some questions about folklore in Appalachia, in the southern U.S., in East Tennessee in specific. And this might be a fun one because, spoiler, some other folks have written to us via email regarding strangely similar things. I guess it's just that time. But before we do all of that, I have to ask a question for you guys. Have you ever heard of a man named Nicholas Rossi?
No.
I know.
No. Well, good. I want to say, but we're in for a wild ride. And before we start this week's listener mail segment, important notice, the first act here will contain descriptions of sexual violence and as such may not be appropriate for all listeners. Here's the story. Fiona writes to us and says, this guy, beat me here, Doc, he'll say any mad shit to drag this out as long as possible. Nicholas Rossi, alleged fugitive says he was tattooed in hospital. Heck of a headline, right? And usually when you go to hospitals, it's not to get tattoos. Those are two things we know, right? Objectively. But I had not been familiar with this guy before this story. So thank you to Fiona. It is true. There is a man who calls himself Nicholas Rossi, who says that he was tattooed in a hospital against his will. But that is just our entry point into the story of a man named Nicholas Alaverdian, whom I assume none of us have heard of yet. No? Okay. All right. So
correct.
This guy, for a time, he was a darling of advocacy because he was in the foster care system and he survived. We've got a lot of people who are listening who have been in the foster care system, had a good experience or a terrifying, traumatic one. We also have a lot of really, really noble foster parents who are trying to help give kids a safe place to be creative and grow. Nicholas did not have that experience in Rhode Island. He actually advocated quite publicly for changes and improvements to the foster system. However, if you search for him now, whether under his real name, Alaverdian, or one of his assumed names, Rossi, you'll see that he is much better known as a sex offender, US-based, who attempted to fake his own death in 2020 as the heat got too close. The story that Fiona is sharing with us is a recent development with this guy. We'll go in order of operations here. We'll talk about the numerous assaults, and then we'll talk about the pseudo side again, a little word of the day. And then we'll talk about how this tattoo thing became a thing. So in January of 2008 in Ohio, this person offered to walk a Sinclair Community College student to her next class, and then he pinned her against the wall and groped her while he pleasured himself. And when she tried to fight back, he said, "I'm almost done. Don't be a B word." And then later he apologized and said he couldn't help it because she was so beautiful. He said, "Don't tell anybody." She naturally made a police report because that is a monstrous action. Later, same year, he is convicted under a different name of public indecency and sexual imposition for that incident. He's required to register as a sex offender. He tries to get a retrial, doesn't go through because the judge reviewing it was pretty sure that the legal process had been conducted as it should be. He then, in 2013, tried to sue multiple people, saying that he was deprived of a jury trial. He also sued his victim and wrote an essay called "My Personal 9/11.
Jesus.
When he compared her actions, which were essentially resisting sexual assault, to the actions of terrorists on September 11th. 2010, he pleads no contest to domestic assault, where he is caught red-handed in media arrests by police, abusing a woman, another woman. In November 2010, he gets married. His then wife says she's divorcing him and has a restraining order. 2015, he marries a second time. Second wife divorces him due to gross neglect of duty and extreme cruelty. And then he also threatened her with a blade, with a knife of some sort. In 2020, he fakes his death, not because of all of his rampant abuse and misogyny, but because he learns the FBI is investigating him for fraud. A lot of this comes from a great regional outfit, the Providence Journal. They report this in 2021. His former foster mother, Sharon Lane, says that this guy, Nicholas Alaverdian, opened 22 separate credit cards under her husband's name. And by 2019, he had moved to Ireland because he was hoping that this would get him further away from the jurisdiction of the FBI. But nobody was really sure where he was going. In 2017, something starts happening in Utah. They start processing a backlog of untested sexual assault kits. One of them, from 2008, matches Nicholas Aliverdian's DNA. And it's from that investigation into the 2008 Ohio assault. So people are looking for this guy. When he fakes his death, he tries to lay groundwork in the front. He says he had been diagnosed with non-Hodgkin lymphoma, terrible condition. He also said that he also made it public in the media. Like, he called and told the Providence Journal himself that they had to publish something about his illness. Then he had someone claiming to be his widow calling to say that he had died and giving copies of a death certificate or something like that. This doesn't hold water. Eventually, people start asking questions about what happened to him. And so, December of last year, he gets arrested at the Queen Elizabeth University Hospital. That's in Glasgow, Scotland, regarding that 2008 sexual assault. And he got arrested, you guys, because he was getting treatment for COVID-19 under a third name, Arthur Knight. Not super creative, like Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table. Arthur yeah. Knight. And he was identified by, ding, ding, observations of his tattoos, which matched police records for this Rossi character. Furthermore, scarring on one of his tattoos suggested that he had attempted to remove them, but not a professional laser job, like an old school cut.
Scraping cut a layer paste. Of skin yeah. off, mm-hmm. basically. Yeah, mm-hmm. it's rough. Yeah.
And probably stopped because that hurts a great deal. So he gets caught. He has a bail hearing remotely. These are high-level details. And they grant him bail because they think this guy's got COVID. He's going to be in the hospital for weeks. The day after he makes bail, he skips the hospital. He tries to go via a private taxi, and he tries to source oxygen. I know. And so he's in court, and he starts making these, I don't want to call them ludicrous because he hasn't been convicted, but he starts making these difficult to believe claims. They say, look, your DNA matches. And he says, it wasn't me. A la Shaggy from that song. And then they say, okay, well, you've got these distinctive tattoos on both of your arms. One of them's a red cross above an angel wing. Not a lot of people have that. So we're pretty sure it's you. And then this guy has the temerity to say, throughout the 18 days I was comatose, I did not have free will over my body. I've never had tattoos prior to being in hospital. He also says, he has other people connecting him with these tattoos pre-hospital stay. And then he said during his waking moments, there were many, many people in the ward. There was water contamination. And then the sheriff stopped him and said, stop drifting off topic. And you guys, during this conversation, during this hearing, his accent switches. Posh, received British, we call it, maybe a U.S. accent. He says it's because he's oxygen deprived. I want to stop there. Don't want a monologue.
No, not at all. This is a really fascinating story. I just want to say there was an article that you posted from the BBC where one of the headers was accent switched.
Yes.
And I was like, is this a, like, what's the word? Like a euphemism? No, it is not.
No. No, he did say that due to oxygen deprivation, he was, you know, he blamed it on something else. He didn't say that he was losing control of his lies. Also pulled an older Providence Journal report from February of 2011, where he talks about the horrors of the foster system. So the guy definitely likes the spotlight, right? But there is a clear pattern, at least if, you know, the prosecutors and the victims are to be believed, of him victimizing women.
And it says we mentioned two marriages or three?
He had, so this part, it's a good question, Matt. This part's a little unclear to me as well. It's tough because we might not know the full extent. The guy has gone under no less than 10 or 11 different names right now.
Wow.
Yeah, so there may be other people out there who got married to this predator, but it was at least two. We don't know very much at all about the person claiming to be the widow, who would have also been in the U.S. My question starts to become, how did this guy get across the Atlantic, right? How did he do it while being the subject of a federal level investigation for fraud?
I couldn't possibly tell you. I mean, aren't you on watch lists for much less, for much lesser offenses? I mean, I've been detained for having the wrong color suitcase. You know, I mean, I'm just, you know what I mean? Like, this doesn't make sense.
No, agreed. It seems like these defenses aren't going to hold water, but it's strange because there are a lot of gaps here. There are a lot of questions. How did this guy get along and away with being a predator for so long? Again, has not been convicted as we record this. So I do want to be careful with that language. But the other question is, how did he have the resources to do this? Was it income from the various frauds he enacted? If that's the case, then how was, I mean, he almost certainly wasn't using those cards, right? Because the FBI already popped him for that one. I'm just wondering whether this guy has any connections, whether he is a lone actor. I'm not sure at this point.
How confident would you say, Ben, are authorities that this person, well, is it Arthur Knight who is the one who was comatose? Who had the tattoos?
Yeah.
How confident are they that this is the guy?
They're extremely confident. The DNA is a match.
Okay.
He also got hit with two further allegations. This just happened today as we record on November 9th. He was facing two more allegations of sexual assault as he continues to fight extradition in the United States. This goes across different state boundaries. Let's see. The Daily Mirror is saying he sexually assaulted a 21-year-old woman in Utah, but then you'll see other places saying that's in Ohio. This is still a developing story, and it's definitely something heavy, but I want to thank Fiona for alerting us to this, and then also opening the door for an unpleasant but necessary conversation. How many other people are slipping through the cracks like this? How many other people make it out beyond jurisdiction, right, and manage to dodge Interpol long enough to continue
do
their
some
crimes?
Damage? Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean, think about the documents alone that you would need to pull off all the stuff that this person has pulled off. Like, you can't just go by a name for a lot of purposes. You got to have something, right?
Oh, they also have his fingerprints.
Mm.
Like the typical ways you would think of confirming an individual's identity. They got him. Why then would somebody, okay, first off, is it possible to do ornamental tattoos like this when someone's put under? I guess so, with the right anesthetic.
Sure, but why?
Why would you do that?
It may
to frame somebody.
Well, yes, that, but also
that's got to be his narrative, right?
It's so funny, and this is unrelated, kind of, but initially when I heard this headline, Ben, I think of the kinds of tattoos that the Nazis gave Jews in concentration camps, like what now in hospital we get as a wristband or like a, you know, a tag of some kind used to be done, or like, you know, the way you think of like in Stranger Things where like the characters who have been experimented on have these tattoos with their like code or like, you know, inmate name. That's what I think of when I think of like I was given tattoos in hospital.
Mm-hmm. There is a current wife in the picture. Her name is Miranda Knight, and she and her husband have started a PR business to fund his battle against extradition. Again, this is an ongoing story. We're going to keep this one short. Thank you very much, fellow conspiracy realist Fiona. Let us know if you are aware of similar stories of people like this, predators, con artists, so on. We're going to keep our ears to the ground on this one. We'll update as there is more to come. But in the meantime, we're going to pause and we'll return with another message from your fellow listeners.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light.
With the first pick in the NFL Draft.
Catch all seven rounds, 3 days, live from Detroit. April 25th to 27th with NFL Network Draft coverage presented by Verizon and on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and streaming on NFL Plus. It all starts Thursday, April 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information.
And we're back. And we are going to hear a voicemail left by someone calling themselves Plactos.
Hey guys, y'all can call me Plactos. I just got done listening to the first part of the Things That Creep Around in the Night episode and made me think. There's a lot of old-timers here in East Tennessee who, and I got to admit, it's wore off of me a little bit, too. They're scared to death of a creature that sounds awful similar to haunt. You won't hear anybody say it around here, and I know a lot of people who place, you know, bowls of rice or brooms at their doors because there's supposedly a, you know, they feel compelled to stop and count things. But they're legitimately concerned about them, you know, showing up and doing evil things. We'll leave it at that. But I know Ben has talked about having some ties to the East Tennessee area, and I was just curious if, you know, I'd be very interested to hear any tales of the old timers you knew, Ben. Love the show, and can't wait for the next episode to come out. See y'all.
Okay.
Yes.
Question.
Thank you, Plactos. It's really, really good stuff. You know, we like those episodes where we get to talk about folklore and, you know, so the supernatural side of the planet, right? Ben, I wanted to ask you, Plactos mentions haunts, which I thought I kind of knew, but I didn't understand the difference between, I guess, a haunt and a what I would pronounce haint, H-A-I-N-T. Is that the same thing?
That's what Plactos is referring to. Yeah, Haint.
Okay.
H-A-I-N-T. This could be considered, most often it's considered an angry, evil spirit or a spirit that has been turned toward anger. So there may be a sense of vengeance, right? An unjust death. It can also be, you know, honestly, man, kind of similar to an Aswang. It can be an undefinable thing. But Plactos, this message made my day because it's something that's easy to laugh at if you have not, you know, been in that environment or that community and experienced this stuff directly. You know, history is much closer than it appears in the rear view mirror. There are tons of folkloric vestiges, right, of ancient cultures. And I think a lot of people, I don't want to put anyone in a box here before their time, but I think a lot of people forget that the U.S. South, the Southeast in particular, is a tremendous mixing pot of global cultures over hundreds and hundreds, well, thousands of years, really, because the folks who were here before Europeans, they also had this panoply of cultures that are different and distinct and have some overlaps. And all of this combined, this reminds me of, like, one example is Haint Blue. Have you guys heard of that? You may have heard of it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a Sherwin-Williams color of Haint Blue. It's a specific color that is supposed to confuse any spirit or wandering spirit like this with the ocean. So you see this blue, especially if it's painted on the exterior of a house, like on the porch, like up, I guess above the porch, if you imagine like a covered porch, that's very common. Fascinating stuff to actually have, you know, a major paint company have this as one of their colors that's mentioned. Yeah. So I want to just really quickly, I want to jump to haints.org, H-A-I-N-T-S.org. And they mentioned that, I just found what you're talking about, Ben, haints and haunts. It's kind of interchangeable. It was originally Haint, and it comes from the Gullah Geechee people. If you think about in Georgia, some of the barrier islands over there, like near Savannah, Georgia, some of the groups of people who were brought to this country had that as a belief that carried over then into the U.S. They are saying it is often a wandering spirit, often described as, in hoodoo belief, as a similar way. Someone who is, quote, seeking to chase victims to their death by exhaustion, which is a terrifying concept.
Well, it makes me think of like The Grudge, you know, like that movie The Grudge, where there's like a malevolent spirit that is just messing with you until you lose your mind.
So I want to talk about that, the protections that you're getting into there with that blue color, Ben. So what our caller is referring to is two methods of protecting one's home from these things.
Right.
There's that blue, and then the other one is leaving rice, a bowl of rice by the door, and or a broom by the door. And I have found in a couple of places, specifically on this website called keithdotson.com, references to exactly how to protect yourself. And one of them is these counting tricks.
Right, distractions.
Have you heard that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like putting, like in the old days, they used to put newspaper on the walls. The idea being that this would also distract the spirit as it would be compelled to read this stuff, or, you know, compelled to count the grains of rice, right? It's not the same as in some East Asian folklore where, you know, like the Festival of Hungry Ghosts, mm-hmm. where you appease a spirit by ceremonially feeding it. In this case, There are some other analogs in global folklore with the idea that you throw out, you know, dried beans or something like that, and the creature has to stop and count them, which gives one enough time to escape. But yeah.
That's really cool. They're saying it would give you enough time basically until daybreak, because then, at least according to the folklore, these things can't attack when it's not nighttime.
Well, also with the Roma people, there's a community of them that lives in my hometown or near my hometown in Augusta, Georgia, and they'll build these communities and they'll build these houses and then they'll cover the windows in tinfoil for a period of time because they feel as though they're using that to exorcise any malevolent spirits. And it's not the same as counting, but I would argue that the tinfoil has in some way a deflecting power, perhaps, in their minds.
I feel like that would trap them inside.
That's yeah, I would too. I would too, Nat. But you know, that's what they do.
There's also salt. You know, that's pretty common in a lot of
circles.
Folklore. Yeah. But one thing, Plactos, that you mentioned that I think people should take seriously, as strange as it may seem to outsiders, is that folks who believe in this aren't going to, like you said, they're not going to say it. You know, one of the colloquialisms for this is the idea of speaking something up, right? The idea that by mentioning it, one makes it more manifest in this world. And without, you know, not going too deep into my own thing, I don't want to put anybody to sleep. Yeah, I, like you, Plactos, I grew up in an environment where there were older people who were quite convinced about this. There's religious syncretism all across the U.S. South. And what I mean by that is that people might say, oh, I am a Christian, or, oh, I am, you know, insert modern religion here. But you will see a lot of things like root work. You will see a lot of things like you alluded to, Matt, hoodoo practices. And they're simply accepted as part of a spiritual system. And I would say also, in their defense, even those of us hearing this who consider themselves to be very skeptical, please do remember that these ancient beliefs, which go back to the African continent, which go back to pre-Columbus days, those ancient beliefs are also the sources of information for a lot of medicines that have saved lives. You can't throw the whole thing out, you know. And as we always say in this show, we don't tell people what to believe. But I would just say, if you're a stranger in a strange land and somebody tells you to watch out for something, even if you think it's just some Twilight Zone Halloween stuff, listen to them.
Well advised. Yes, indeed.
If you are worried about a haunt, another couple things you could do, plant some bottle trees. Find some bottle trees, plant them.
You know, okay. I'm impressed, Matt. I'm impressed.
These bottle trees are another thing that comes from the African continent. Again, that's one of the reasons that it's wrapped up in some of the folklore. But these haunts or haints are supposed to be caught in these things, similar to how they get distracted with the broom or the rice. They just get physically caught in these trees. And then again, morning comes, and like a vampire, whoosh, they're gone. Bye-bye. This is really interesting stuff. I just never heard of it. And I'd love to put a call out to anybody else listening. If you're willing to talk about these kinds of things, as Ben said, sometimes it's not what you're kind of supposed to do is talk about it. We would love to hear your story if you don't mind it. Maybe typing it out won't be as bad. I don't know. Do you think, guys? I think typing it is the same as speaking it.
I think it is. Yes. Oh, okay. You're speaking it with your mind into practice, kind of, I think.
In the world of magic, thought is an action.
Okay. All right. Well, do what you got to do. On.
Roll the
put
dice.
Salt, come on, put folks. Some salt around you and then send us an email. We'll see what happens. All right. We'd love to hear from you. So do write in, give us a call, however you contact us. Let's take a break, hear a word from our sponsor, and we'll be right back.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light. Catch all seven rounds, 3 days, live from Detroit, April 25th to 27th with NFL Network Draft coverage presented by Verizon and on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and streaming on NFL Plus. It all starts Thursday, April 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information. Lowe's knows home improvement. Lowe's, official sponsor for the 2024 NFL Draft.
And we're back with one final missive from RC. I'm only saying RC because this individual did not give permission to use their name, so I'm just trying to be as thoughtful as possible. Here we go. My wife is a public service worker, PSW, I think that's what that stands for. It's like someone that is works in a hospice or like cares for someone in need, and works with the night shift at an old folks home. She tells me that when it's a full moon, the residents' moods change. They become aggressive, restless, and unmanageable. Every time there's a full moon, she dreads going into work, knowing that it's going to be a show, her words. I think it's weird how the moon can affect a person's emotions and or actions. Also, my mother has always referred to a woman's menstrual cycle as getting her moon time. I'm not too sure why. That's the end of the email. These are very real things. The moon, it controls the tides. It literally determines how the tides, you know, go in and out, magnetically speaking. So why wouldn't it be something that affects us bodily? We know that magnetic fields can affect us mentally and physically. I think it's no surprised that the cycles of the moon affect, you know, our bodies, whether you're a woman menstruating or whether you're a man. I mean, where do you think myths like werewolves come from? The idea of on the full moon, everyone goes crazy, you know? The werewolf myth is sort of a way of explaining that.
Yeah, the thing here is that there's a lot of anecdotal evidence. You will also find studies that appear to shoot holes in these experiences, but I think it's very important to note that these studies often, by their nature, kind of attenuate their scope or narrow their scope such that they are not they're not looking at things as broadly as someone who would be continually in that world like you are, RC. I remember one study that came out
around
back in the
06?
80s.
No, okay, there's another one. Yeah,
there are multiple. One specifically about whether or not the full moon influences or agitates, rather, nursing home residents. And they said that they didn't see as much agitation. But one thing they're not accounting for in this study from 89 is the idea of people struggling with dementia or Alzheimer's, which absolutely changes the game here.
For sure. And we know about things like circadian rhythm. And Matt, I see you chomping in the bit to say something, and I'm just going to pass it right to you.
I was going to talk about the full moon / eclipse that just happened on election night. which if you want to talk about influencing things, what a night to have a full moon and an eclipse. That's all.
So mote be, bro.
Do you know what type of eclipse it was, guys? It has a very specific name.
I know, but I don't want to spoil it.
Is it a blood moon situation? No.
It is, but it's a specific type of blood moon. Sorry, give this came up in conversation earlier.
No, no, I don't know.
It was called and is called, according to most places that I've seen, a beaver blood moon.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I heard myself echo through your headphones when I said that. That's just funny. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to put my childish ways behind me. Why is it called a beaver blood moon?
It's any full moon during the month of November is a beaver moon. Also, believe the full moon in November, at least in this language, the idea of calling it a beaver moon is that beavers are working continuously to build themselves dams for the winter. How cute. The symbolic representation for people who follow a spiritual side of it is that the blood moon, or the beaver blood moon in particular, represents, you'll love this, Matt, with the election connection, quote, represents a time when people come to terms with information that could change their lives. And that comes from a Vice article.
Wow. And then you have things like the harvest moon, and there's lots of different, you know, folkloric names for cycles of the moon.
Hey, wait. Noel, do you know what an August full moon is?
Tell me.
It's a sturgeon moon. Isn't that exciting?
Like a fish? like the fish?
Yep.
Well, that's funny you say that, Matt, because that actually leads right into what I was about to say. There's a study from 2006, the lunar cycle effects on human and animal behavior and physiology. And I read the abstract. I didn't pay the money to read the whole thing, but it's very interesting. They talk about specifically fish reproduction cycles in terms of ovulation and like creating these like giant, like, you know, sacks of eggs or whatever. The lunar cycle may affect hormonal changes early in phylogenesis. In fish, the lunar clock influences reproduction and involves the hypothalamus pituitary gondal axis. In birds, the daily variations in melatonin and corticosterone disappear during full moon cycles. Wonder what's that? What that's about. The lunar cycle also affects laboratory rats with regards to taste sensitivity and the ultra structure of pineal gland cells. And if anybody knows anything about the pineal gland, that is a gland that contains that thing that we always talk about, the Illuminati once, right? What's that stuff?
The adrenal glands?
Adrenochrome. Isn't that in the pineal gland? The pineal gland is considered a kind of psychedelic gland. It's like the third eye. The pineal gland is what, like, in discussing psychedelic experiences, the pineal gland, they say, is a very important gland. But here's the last line in the abstract. Although the exact mechanism of the moon's influence on humans and animals awaits further exploration, knowledge of this kind of biorhythm may be helpful in you're going to love this, Matt, in police surveillance, medical practice, and investigations involving laboratory animals. They really just did a mic drop with police surveillance. Where'd that come from? That came out of nowhere. What does that have to do with? I mean, no, I know what it has to do with, the idea that people act worse in full moon nights. Like, oh, it's a full moon. Shit's going to get crazy tonight, you know?
I still believe, and I will posit this forever, that it just has to do with more light. There is more light in general at night when there's a full moon. It's easier to see things. It's easier to move around and get things done if you're planning on getting something done.
Yep.
No, it doesn't matter what it is. And there's more reason to go out, I think.
All right, fair. That's fair. Geez, I don't really have a whole lot else to add to this. I thank RC very much for bringing this to mind. And by the way, do you guys have opinions? I haven't Googled this specifically or like researched this, but I think it is pretty commonly accepted that the moon cycle does affect menstruation. And also the idea of women living together, they cycle up with each other.
Cycle sync.
Yes.
So couple things. Like, one thing I think is really interesting about your comment, Matt, is there's a great experiment that happened in Japan where they found turning streetlights blue actually decreased incidence of violence. We can't escape the fact that the majority of higher order organisms on the planet grew up or evolved under the gravitational cycle of the moon, right? There's a reason it moves the oceans. We know that, to your point, Noel, the science and lore behind menstrual cycles and the moon, they might be their own sort of, they might be their own episode, because a lot of scientific studies will try to rebuke this hypothesis, and they'll say they found no proof that the menstrual cycle is affected by the position and movements of the moon. But the general public is still fascinated by this idea. And I think without research, to be respectful, we can't make a conclusive statement about that until we have read everything as well, because we have to be very conscious. We're three dudes.
Well, I think we're conjecturing here. This is the kind of stuff that has a lot of roots in lore, in folklore and in magic, you know, with a CK, you know, the idea of like doing rituals based around the full moon and the idea of werewolves being triggered by the full moon. I mean, it is something that has fascinated, you know, us culturally for a very, very long time. And I think usually when that's the case, there's some, like with a lot of conspiracy theories, a grain of truth to it. Scientifically, even if we can't fully explain it and wrap our heads around it.
Well, there's always the one fact that escapes a lot of people whenever they talk about the influence of the moon on living things. And that's simply this: humans do not fully understand gravity here in the modern day. So correct. Without understanding something, how do you begin to understand its effects? It's a tough eclipse, you know, it's a tall, tall, ghostly milkshake.
It's a tall, ghostly drink of water. I love it. No, it's true. But that's what we do here on the show, is talk about these kinds of things and talk about the science and what is out there and available, and kind of bridge that gap between the mystical and the explainable. So thank you, RC, for that email. I thought it was a very interesting thing to think about.
And with that, we are not saying goodbye. We're saying au revoir. We'll see you soon. Au revoir is French for see you later, right?
Correct. See you
soon? Okay, yeah, cool, yeah. Cool. All right, that landed. We can't wait for you to be part of the conversation. Thanks to everyone who takes the time to write to us, to call us, to summon us via their interface of choice. Shout out also to Bridget over in Italy, who said she enjoys listening to the show because it, like so many other people say, helps her get to sleep. So if you want to take a page from our fellow conspiracy realists, we'd love for you to join us. We try to be easy to find online.
Well, first of all, if you want to find us online, you can buy our book on audible.com, yes, where you can hear us lull you to sleep in chapter form. Matt, Ben, and myself all read various chapters from the audiobook version of Stuff They Don't Want You to Know, which you can also buy as a delightful coffee table book version that you can gift to your friends, or as Ben, you'll say, give it to your enemies.
You know? I like to say that. Yeah. I like to say, if you don't like the book, give it to your enemies. Everybody wins. That'll show them.
Or just give it to all your friends for, you know, holidays, because they're right now. They're happening right now.
It's true. And outside of that, you can find us on Twitter. You can find us on YouTube, and you can find us on Facebook at Conspiracy Stuff, on Instagram or Conspiracy Stuff Show.
If you like to talk on the phone, call 1-833-STDWYTK. It's a voicemail system. When you get through, leave a message. You got 3 minutes. Give yourself a cool name. We can't wait to hear what you have to say. Let us know if we can use your name and voice on one of these listener mail episodes. Do, as a practice, please put that number in your phone as a contact. So if you get a call back from it, you'll know it's from an actual person and not some, you know, cold call spammer or something like that. If you don't like using your phone or talking on it, why not instead send us a good old-fashioned email? We are
conspiracy@iheartradio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having pink lady apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light. Catch all 7 rounds, 3 days, live from Detroit, April 25th to 27th with NFL Network Draft coverage presented by Verizon and on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and streaming on NFL Plus. It all starts Thursday, April 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information. Brought to you by Microsoft Surface, powering a better game.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.